Hannah.
Yeah, Hannah's the TV show on Amazon based on the movie Hannah.
The movie? Yeah, okay, yeah.
The one with the Hulk?
No. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, you bitch. He was the Hulk.
I never saw the movie. Was
me either, but I know.
Was it Edward Norton or was it
Bana?
Bana or was it
Eric Bana?
Eric Bana.
Eric Bana.
Finn Balor.
Finn Balor. That's all he says. Finn Balor. That's all he's been saying all weekend.
How was that? The Royal Rumble?
Yeah, NXT was super dope and fun. Royal Rumble had a lot of cool moments.
Yeah.
But
overall, was most of a letdown.
You can't have a 5-hour fucking show, man. That's what ruins it. Like,
yeah,
a show can't be 5 hours and still be as good at the end.
So what did it start with? Like, because I was sick and I couldn't make. Well, I mean, I wasn't sick that day.
See, he's twisting up his lies.
Mm-hmm. He had a can't get his fucking dinner. Lies straight.
No, I was.
Anyhow,
my grandpa was in town, so I couldn't.
It went guys. Two matches, ladies rumble. Two matches, dudes rumble.
Yeah.
Okay.
And it was all so every the two matches before and the first two and the middle two were all belt,
yeah, all title matches.
They're all title matches.
Okay,
and the matches were all pretty good, but I thought the women's rumble wasn't as good as it was last year.
The end was fun.
The end was fun,
but the first two thirds were.
See, last year because it was the first women's rumble, they brought back a lot of like old school wrestlers.
Okay,
old school female wrestlers like Trish and Lita, just a whole bunch of them to kind of like, hey, you guys were a part of this,
but ladies you left rumble.
Before we really turned things around for the women's division. And I think that made it more fun and exciting because you saw these women's wrestlers that you haven't seen in a long time. So that was cool. This year, they used a lot of NXT talent, which was cool. But, like, watching this Rumble, you really kind of remember, like the women's roster is just nowhere near the size of the men's roster, which we all knew.
Yeah.
But it's a really glaring indictment on, like, some of them just aren't as good. You know what I mean? Like, there's
the depth of talent in the ladies
top end is fucking dope. Like the top 10 women in WWE right now are pretty badass. You can even probably stretch that to like 15, 18, you know what I mean? Maybe. If you really start going down through like the NXT girls who haven't really been given a chance to shine yet. But the bottom tier that are still around because of whatever fucking
they're kind of like their popularity. The
yeah. It's like there's so many better women like just out there. It's like, just bring those ones in and get rid of all the shitty ones because you really want to push this division. Like, you need top to bottom studs, you know? But
you got to give them something that's going to be exciting to watch.
Yeah. So, when like, some of the wrestlers that weren't as good were out there, it was, like, pretty evident. And also, there's another thing that people don't talk about. Like, women have never done Royal Rumbles before last year.
Yeah.
And, like, it's so much different than just having a regular match. Like, you can't just work through your spots and
you got to be careful where other people are because you can't just throw somebody across the ring and expect them to hit off the ropes.
It's not just that. They're, like, doing finishing moves in the middle of the ring.
Well, everyone does that. You guys were complaining about that. And it's like, if the whole Rumble was just literally people trying to throw someone over the top rope, it'd be the boringest match.
Yeah, because I'm pretty sure I've seen people trying to
do finishing moves. Yeah, the men's do that, too, because the finishers are exciting and get the crowd all amped up. but it's weird too. And like another thing that I thought was weird is the women on average are much shorter than the men.
Yes.
So like the men can just get a clothesline and fall out of the ring because like the top rope is like the middle of their back.
Yeah.
The women, they have to like jump up and kind of climb before it's a weird thing watching them because like you didn't really think about it before they started doing Royal Rumbles. I'm like, yeah, that's a different dynamic for them to
go over the top rope. Height of probably like 6'2" or something like that to like
5'5" maybe.
But like to like 5'5", 5'4". Yeah,
even
like
Alexa Bliss is like 4'10". I mean, she's like 4'10" or 4'11". Like, she's short. Tiny. Yeah. I mean, like Nia is like the biggest one. I think she's only 6'2", right?
Let's find out.
But you're right. It would be much difficult to get a ring
because you're aesthetically you're used to like one thing being the norm, And you know, like they have to kind of find, and you have to get used to watching them go over the top because it is an oddly different thing, and it looks really choppy sometimes.
Yeah.
Nia Jax is 6 feet tall. Alexa Bliss is 5'1".
So 6 feet is basically the tallest. I mean, there might be a couple taller ones, but Nia is like the big, noticeable, bigger one than everyone. So she's only 6 foot. I mean, the average dude is probably 6'4", 6'5". Yeah. So, I mean, that's a big difference going over the top rope. The Men's Royal Rumble I thought was fun, but it just, again, no, like, big shocking, like, comebacks
to,
or...
Who to win, or...
The guy I thought was going to win won. That's another bummer, too, is sometimes when you go into the Rumble, you kind of know who's going to win. Last year was, like, a big surprise who won. This year, it's like, it's going to be Seth Rollins.
Yeah.
Or Drew McIntyre, I thought were the two that made the most sense. And sure enough, it was Seth. I mean, it's still cool, but when you...
Seth Rollins is 6'1".
Yeah.
I was thinking, for some reason, I was thinking AJ Styles was going to be the taller one. Nice. But Dean Ambrose is 6'4".
Yeah.
Roman Reigns is 6'3". Whenever you see, I see those, I always think Roman's is so much taller than all of them.
Roman, yeah, that's weird that he's an inch shorter than...
Finn Balor's 5'11".
I'm taller than all these guys.
That's awesome. Finn Balor is like a short one, though. But then you like get into like, I know a lot of them weren't in the ring, but obviously like Braun is like a 6'8", 6'9".
That dude looks 6'8". Pretty big.
Yeah, he's like the same wide too. Big old broad shouldered motherfucker.
Brock Lesnar's 6'3". What makes me think? How tall is John Cena?
Dun, 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 dun.
If you can see him to measure him, he's only 6 foot. I say that only 6 foot, but compared to these other fuckers.
But I mean, like I said, it was fun, but it's just too, like, if the show would have been shorter,
it would have been
better.
Yeah,
how do you, 5 hours? I guess fucking.
So you long. There were two matches leading up to the Women's Rumble, then two matches leading up to the Men's Rumble.
Yeah,
like that is 5 hours of what? Is it commentary in between? Is it?
During the main one, there's not, the only thing they really do is, before each of the title matches, they do a little vignette of
like a recap,
of the feud like between how
them, we got here kind of thing.
Yeah, like the locations ahead of time.
In terms of action in the ring, it was pretty fast paced in that terms. But it's like we were talking about this. It's like if they're gonna do two Rumbles in one night, like by rule, like because it's you start with two, you have 30 entrants, and they got 90 seconds between each entrant.
Yeah.
Like, you're going over an hour no matter what for that match.
Because just the time frame of getting people out is 45 minutes.
Yeah.
So first person in, they have 90 seconds to wait till the second person goes in.
Well, no, the first, they start with two.
Well, I'm saying, but you have that 90 seconds before someone else is coming in.
Yeah, you know what I mean? So, people, and then the third person is 90 seconds.
Yeah, and then when you see it, and the other thing that's weird about the Rumble is, like, you used to see it once a year, and now you're seeing two in one night. It's, like, weird. You know what I mean? So I threw out, I thought a good idea would be to have two Rumble events a year.
You'd split them up and do, like, a female.
Yeah, so female. I was thinking, because this Royal Rumble that takes place in January is always kind of like the kickoff to WrestleMania season because it's so close to Mania. So WrestleMania and then SummerSlam are the two biggest shows, and it's like the perfect halfway point SummerSlam is for Mania. So they call it the Summer WrestleMania.
Yeah.
So like I was thinking maybe you can have another Rumble event, you call it that, you call it whatever, a couple months before SummerSlam. So it's basically a halfway point between this Royal Rumble, and then have either the women's or the men's Rumble that time, and then they get a title shot at SummerSlam. And then, you know, the men can have it at this time, and they could pick their, you know, or vice versa. If you want to keep the women in that spot to make it look like they're not a second tier thought, that's fine too. So this time of year, have only the women's Royal Rumble.
Right.
And then for SummerSlam, have the men's. Because, it's just, last year it was weird because, like I said, you had it was the first time having the women's match, and you had all these past superstars, and it was like, it was funner. And then I think the Rumble was just paced a lot better last year, too. Same thing with the men. I thought the men's was shockingly fucking amazing last year. It was one of the best ones I've seen in a long time.
Yeah.
And this one wasn't bad. It just wasn't as good. And then again, like I said, like nothing should last 5 hours.
What makes it good or bad for you?
The right amount of like, so the best thing about the Royal Rumble is you don't have to win the Royal Rumble to have like a good Royal Rumble. You know what I mean? If you have a couple really cool moments, that's always nice. So even if like the dudes that you like that aren't, you know, aren't going to win or probably aren't going to win, if they have a good showing, like that's good momentum to build them on TV. And then I like thinking that like feuds are going to start with the Rumble. Okay. You know, like, so you could have like former partners, you know, kind of turn on each other, or former foes team up, like just weird little twists and stuff.
Stuff that just happens in the moment.
Yeah. And then it could build to stuff to Mania. Cause gotcha. like if, you know, two tag team partners who have been on a losing streak and one eliminates the other one, like it's like, oh, that's a start of a feud. This is interesting. We'll see where this goes. And there's always little things, or if like somebody comes out that wasn't actually involved and like interfered to cause an elimination, that's obviously like a big storyline going forward. This year, I didn't really feel like, I mean, some of it might have started, like we'd have to kind of develop, but nothing really stuck out like, oh, that's definitely going gotcha. Into Mania.
Okay. If anything, this year's, they still just had the same feuds that have been building up the last few weeks come to a head. And like those two people were in the ring together,
which happens too.
Still a conclusion,
but that shouldn't. Yeah, that shouldn't be a conclusion. The Rumble should be kind of either a continuation.
Mania should be the conclusion of it,
right?
Especially this time of year.
And like it didn't ramp up anything real big this year. If anything, it kind of like left a lot of stuff like unresolved in a way, but like sometimes didn't even feel it more. Like the biggest one was Samoa Joe and Mustafa Ali.
Okay.
Because like up until now, Mustafa Ali's been getting his ass handed to him by Samoa Joe. And then during the Rumble, spoiler alert, Mustafa Ali actually got to eliminate Samoa Joe.
Which that's actually one of the better points though.
That's what I'm saying.
Because so that's what I'm talking about. Mustafa Ali didn't win the Rumble, but he had a big moment eliminating Samoa Joe.
Uh-huh.
And so they could take that. And they've kind of had a little bit of feud, but now it kind of gets wrapped up. And Samoa Joe's going to be pissed. You know, and so there's something there going forward.
Yeah.
But there wasn't a lot of that happening. Like, he just won a little bit more intrigue to know, like, going forward. But, I mean, like, Seth looked like $1 million. Like, he had a great Royal Rumble. So it's good that, you know, he looked so good through the whole time, and winning it helped. But things that are kind of a bummer is like, I really wanted Drew McIntyre to have like a monster showing.
Yeah.
And he had a couple cool eliminations, but like nothing that really stands out. So like, for instance, like a few years ago when they first started to push Roman Reigns,
mm-hmm.
like this is before any single titles or anything. It's like fresh off the Shield breakup, they first started pushing him. They didn't want him to win the Royal Rumble. They wanted him to have a big showing, so they let him eliminate 13 people, which would break the record for most eliminations in one match. So you remember that. You're like, guy, he had a badass Rumble. He didn't win, but like he's on his way up.
Yeah.
Nobody really had that kind of like night.
Okay.
So, because I was thinking, well, like, Drew's going to eliminate, like, 10, 11 people tops and just look dominant, and then something weird, you know, and it was just like, a night, you know? But I thought the actual matches themselves, like, all the title matches, were actually pretty fun and good.
And who were those with?
So you had...
the tag championship.
Yeah, so you had...
The Bar.
The Bar versus Miz and Shane McMahon.
Yep.
And Shane McMahon is 49 years old, and he had a shooting star press. So that's the one opponent laying down in the middle of the ring. He's on the top turnbuckle facing the opponent, jumps out and does a backflip and lands on the opponent.
Damn.
He's fucking almost 50 and he landed that. I was shocked he could do it because he's never done that before.
Okay.
Like, Shane McMahon has a couple go-to moves. Like, coast he does a coast-to-coast. He does an elbow drop from the top rope to the table.
Uh-huh.
Those are kind of like, you know you're going to get those in a Shane McMahon match.
Yeah.
He didn't have any of those, but he hit that shooting star press. You're like, oh, this is a new thing for him. That's
he also pretty impressive. He's been
working on it for a few years.
Yeah. So, I mean, that was pretty cool. That they had a good moment there. Ronda Rousey versus Sasha Banks,
This is one that I've heard Cody complain a lot about. Not complain about, but talk about a lot.
Yeah, I mean, it was... It's weird because it's... With Ronda right now, it's like, just get us to Ronda versus Becky.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So, like, any match, storyline-wise, it's like, well, she better not fucking lose. Like, we gotta get... to her versus
she
Becky.
Has the belt right now, right?
Yeah.
Ronda has the belt
and she's undefeated. And so now, I mean, Becky Lynch won the Females Royal Rumble, so they're finally going to face off at Mania, which is probably going to be the first time a female match main events Mania. Like, really? if they're ever going to do it, now's the time. They're both at the height of their fucking superpowers right now, you know what I mean? Enough. So
I see Ronda having the biggest name power.
Yeah, and then Becky Lynch in the last couple months she's skyrocketed her name value. Yeah. So it needs to happen with these two, and I think it doesn't look like they're gonna fuck it up. Looks like they're doing that right. The other one we had Brock Lesnar versus Finn Balor. That match was good, super short, but it was fun. It's kind of what you expected. Finn got a bunch of offense in, but didn't quite do the job.
Yeah.
Whatever. I'm at the point where I'm tired of seeing Brock Lesnar matches.
Yeah.
Like, every now and then, one kind of shocks me, and it's a lot better than I think it's going to be.
Does he still wrestle regularly, or is he just kind of a...
No, he's pay-per-view.
Yeah, he's like a special attraction. Yeah. And not even every pay-per-view. He's like the big pay-per-views. Okay. You like, see him at Rumble, we're probably not going to see him again until Mania.
Wow.
He'll make an appearance like on TV,
yeah, to like
right continue. Before. Like he made a couple in the last couple days after Rumble.
Uh-huh.
He'll make a couple right before Mania.
Yeah,
and he may make an appearance right before Elimination Chamber next month, but it's going to be more shit talking.
He's not
going to
have any matches for sure.
Okay,
but you won't see him in ring until Mania, whenever he faces off against what looks like be Seth Rollins at this point.
Daniel Bryan versus
AJ Styles,
which. Here's the bummer about that match. That match was actually really good.
Until?
Did we all just get the stand-up notification at the same time?
So, wow. So, but that match was actually really good, but the thing
our
is...
Our cycles are...
Is,
oh, match. Don't go there.
Oh, yay, we're all like, Menties. You know.
gross!
We're men, see?
Oh, gotcha.
But that match was right after the Women's Royal Rumble.
Okay.
And that's like a death spot. On a pay-per-view. Like, that crowd was so dead. Yeah. And at this point, you're already 3 hours into the show.
That's a good point, yeah.
This should be the last match of the night, 3 hours in. If you're just starting that match, that needs to be the main event. Like, that's
so the Asuka Becky Lynch match, which started the event off, was 17 minutes, 10 seconds long.
Respectable. Not
the
bad.
The Miz, Shane McMahon, and the Bar match was 13 minutes, 20 seconds long. Then you had so there's three matches. I forgot there's three matches before because there was five total. I forgot about that. Then there was the Ronda Rousey Sasha Banks match, which lasts 13 minutes and 55 seconds. Then you had the Ladies Rumble, which lasted 1 hour and 12 minutes. Then you had the Daniel Bryan and the AJ Styles match, which lasts 24 minutes and 35 seconds.
But right there though, so you're pretty late into the pay per view, and you just got off of. Becky Lynch winning the Women's Royal Rumble, and the crowd erupted for that. But here's the thing: is like after those big moments, it's like everyone who watches wrestling a lot knows like that crowd has already been sitting there. Not to mention the ones that got there early for the pre-show stuff.
For the three that were before that,
yeah. So they've been there for a long fucking time. They just lost their shit
right there. Is because like they were almost 2 hours.
So 2 hours beforehand. So you had three matches. In the pre-show, but the pre-show is 2 hours long.
Yeah,
because as interviews
and
story
start filing
build up.
In, so there's some people that have been there for 4 hours at this point.
Yeah,
already.
Yep,
they've been sitting there for 4 hours cheering for shit.
Jeez.
And so when that match happened, the crowd was dead, and it was a cool match with some interference, which you kind of tipped your hat to what was going to happen in the men's rumble. If you watch a lot of wrestling, you kind of see the writing on the wall. It's like, okay, AJ, the SmackDown title, AJ and Daniel Bryan ended in fuckery. So that feud is probably continuing, or at least AJ's got like a claim to kind of push it a little bit more.
Yeah.
So then you kind of instantly go, okay, Rollins winning and facing Lesnar, which was the big rumor, like that's probably solidified at this point. Like, that's
because if it would have been unfair, but it would have been kind of a shitty way to do if AJ won and then it turns around the winner of the Rumble just goes against him to try to get it like a couple months later.
Yeah, yeah. And they usually wouldn't, like, you watch wrestling long enough, you just kind of know the route they're going with these things. And so you, at that point, you're like, yeah, it looks like Rollins versus Lesnar at Mania is the route they're going.
Okay.
So after that one, you had...
So the Daniel Bryan AJ Styles is 24 and a half minutes long.
With a dead crowd.
With a dead crowd.
Because they're exhausted at this point. So that match should be like a filler match. That match should be something that wasn't even on advertisement. Like, that's when you need to get somebody else out there and just have a little 10-minute...
Yeah,
it's almost like an intermission.
Match. Yeah, because you can't actually do an intermission on a TV show.
Well, do you think? Because I know you mentioned earlier about splitting up the rumbles. Do you actually think that the women's, like if you just did a women's couple matches and Royal Rumble, that it would actually be a big?
You would have you don't have to do just a women's pay per view. You just do the main event would just be the women's Rumble. You could still have men wrestling on the card.
But the main event would be
the main event
would be the women's Rumble.
But you still think that would be a big enough draw?
Yeah, for sure.
Okay.
Yeah, because you'd have like one title match for the women in that. You'd have like a tag team of some sort, probably men at that point, because most of the ladies are going to be in the Rumble, and then one other match that gives you your two and a half hour long everything, and then the men's could be the same thing. You can more like the matches beforehand be more women focus, like a tag team women's match. Or fatal four or something, so it's like a big thing. Like you have again three matches in the men's rumble, because that also it even for pacing of the big show following it, you can focus more on the storylines. Because like he was saying, like the whole thing with like Brock Lesnar and Finn Balor, which is the next match, which lasted 8 minutes and 40 seconds.
Damn, that was quick.
Yeah, well, yeah,
but it was fast paced though.
Yeah, it was fast paced.
There was
so,
no
like, that
was
a lot of action. Yeah, what I'm saying is that's what got the crowd amped up again.
Yeah,
because after seeing the back and forth for 25 minutes of AJ Styles
after
and
being
Brent,
exhausted and they're kind of relaxing.
Yep,
it was a slower paced match. But like I said, if you watch that by itself, it's a good match because AJ Styles and Daniel Bryan can't really have a bad
match.
Yeah, but like I said, the crowd was dead. That like I said, that should have been a 10-minute. Somebody else come in and do this, you know. And have it be a shitty match, whatever. And then you go Finn and Brock, 8-minute match, super fast pace, and then the crowd starts coming alive again because shit's just happening. And they've had like a rest period, basically.
Yeah.
So the crowd's much better for that match. And then which one was after that? It was the
Men's Rumble.
Men's Rumble.
For 57 minutes and 35 seconds.
Yeah. So like a Rumble at minimum is like an hour. Like right around an hour.
Right.
Like you're not gonna
literally because you have to introduce all those guys.
Everyone in a 90-second. And we were talking. I'd be interested to go back and actually clocking it. I think they're speeding up the clock too. Oh,
yeah. It seemed like the men were a little faster. Like
a little bit quicker.
Known.
Like
they're trying to get the doors closed.
Earlier. Yeah. Because like ever since Raw went to 3 hours. Some of the bigger pay-per-views.
And that's increasing time, not decreasing time.
Yeah. So it used to be a 2-hour show. Okay. Then they went to a 3-hour show. And when they started doing that, some of the bigger pay-per-views went from a pay-per-view used to be 3 hours and some change.
Yeah.
And then it started going to 4 hours and like sometimes a little bit of change. But like Mania for the last couple years has always been too long.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of pageantry along in
WrestleMania, and then they're though. Trying to squeeze everybody in because it's the biggest show of the year and they want everyone to have their spot, which I get that. But like for like Rumble to start getting to that point where it hits 5 hours, that means SummerSlam's probably going to get to that point. I mean, Survivor Series is probably going to get to that point.
So it's too fucking long, man. Just a day long event.
That's what Mania was last year. It's like people would get there and like again a 2-hour pre-show. And they're squeezing matches in on the pre-show because, again, they want everybody to, you know, get their moment on Mania.
And us West Coasters are lucky this year for Mania because it's in New Orleans. Yeah. We at least get the afternoon start.
Okay.
But for them, it's like it starts at like 6 or 7 p.m., which is like, you know, 3 or 4 o'clock for us.
5 hours too.
And that's 5 hours. That's past midnight for them. You know what I mean? Like that's a
good point.
You know, that's what I'm saying. Like, that's fucking rough.
That part of the country that suddenly becomes super late in the other part of the country. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, for us, a 5 hour Rumble show that starts at 5 p.m. literally ends at like fucking 10 o'clock.
And I'm always, as like a big wrestling fan, I'm always kind of, I don't like the giant stadium pay per views. Like, this one was at Chase Field, which.
So that was here, okay.
Yeah, so that was an oddity because usually now the only time they run a big stadium is Mania
or SummerSlam.
Even SummerSlam's been either Staples Centers or Barclays for the last couple of years.
The basketball size arenas versus the fucking baseball, football arenas.
Yeah.
The open arenas, because the Mania last year was in an open arena, wasn't it?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No. That one was in the Superdome.
Yeah,
Superdome. Okay.
Yeah. But it has been in the last couple years. It's happened from time to time.
Yeah, and this one, they're in the new state, the new one, right? In New Orleans?
No, the same one.
Is it Superdome? Yeah. Okay. Oh, no, I'm telling you, I've seen the Super Bowl. Super Bowl's in the new one in Atlanta with the weird fucking
this roof. Year, where is Mania this year?
Mania's in New Orleans, right?
No.
Isn't it? Oh, no, it's New Orleans. It's New York, right?
Maybe. I don't know. But it's going to be a big stadium. But
I can tell you right now.
As a wrestling fan, I kind of hate the big stadium ones because, I don't know, it just seems weird. But Chase Field actually showed up. Like, they packed that place out. I was really happy with the turnout. Yeah. And they, aside from being exhausted by the end of the night, they were nice and loud. Because, like, a good, loud crowd that's into it really make a difference in a wrestling show.
Oh, yeah.
Because, like, if crowd's dead, you kind of, like, hate everything.
It's at the MetLife Stadium in New Jersey.
New Jersey. Yeah, so the Giants football stadium. But, yeah, Chase Field showed out, so that was cool that Phoenix actually had a good representation there. That means we should get more events, but I just shows
it's the first time a championship has been on the line in that stadium in a long time.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah. What a dig.
Yeah, he made that dig during the show too. And he looked at me. He's like, Yeah, I know. Yeah, fucker.
Gotcha. Same thing with the Suns Arena Talking Stick where NXT took over.
NXT. But like NXT, here's the difference. Here's the thing. NXT was such a more fun show, though.
Uh-huh.
Because, one, all those guys I still feel like has like a chip on their shoulder because they're not like quote unquote main roster.
Right. They didn't make it to the main event.
And they're really trying to show out, which makes it fun. And it's a 2 to 3 hour show takeovers. And it's fast paced and it's all high quality matches.
Mm-hmm.
Like no match sucks on like very rarely has a match been like, well, that was really bad. Like on a takeover. Actually, I don't think takeovers ever had a match where I was like, I didn't like that match at all.
Yeah.
But people were like, I didn't like that match as much as I liked everything else, but it's still okay. Like it has that. But the matches are usually so much more fun because it's all these guys and they get more time because it's less wrestlers. So each match is usually around 20, so that's a good plenty amount of time to get everything in and tell a good story.
Yeah.
And then the crowd is so, like, it's a much smaller crowd, but they're packed into a basketball stadium. So NXT probably had somewhere around 15 to 17,000 people, as opposed to, like, the 41 that was at
but still respectful.
Chase Field. But that's a good, that's a good, because a wrestling show is going to give you less seats than the actual basketball game. But that one was just so much more fun and high energy and fast paced. And since they started doing takeovers on the weekends of big pay-per-views, you can really be hard pressed to like look at a WWE pay-per-view following a takeover and say that pay-per-view was better than takeover. Like it doesn't happen. The takeover usually always outshines the pay-per-view.
Wow.
So I don't know. Hopefully they kind of realize this and they kind of get back to more of the, like the, I don't know, just
slim down shows.
Slim it down, you know, cut the fat a little bit, make it a little bit more fast paced.
You don't want to end up with something that's
you don't want to like kill your crowd.
It's over 6 hours long.
Oh, Jesus.
Well, it's like 7 or 8 if you're like there for the pre-show.
If you're out for the pre-show. Already, it's already pushing.
Because they had a two-hour pre-show, which there were matches on the pre-show, so that didn't happen until the second hour. So almost the second hour started. So even if you cut that first hour, it was 6 hours of matches.
Yeesh.
Like, it's a goddamn work day, man. Like, you can't, you know what I mean? Like, right.
You're getting your money's worth, but goddamn, like, it's so long. And we're sitting relaxing in a fucking house. How much were tickets to the event? I don't even know. You looked up tickets
for the Rumble?
Let's say we went to the whole thing.
If we went to all four?
Yeah.
The okay tickets for all three. So outside of Chase Field, because they weren't selling four packs, they were selling three packs to the basketball stadium.
Okay.
And Chase Field separately. But all three for the NXT Raw and SmackDown, the cheapest I found the connected tickets was $155 for all three.
That's pretty good though.
Yeah, it's not bad.
And those are the shows.
Right. Yeah.
But then you have the events.
But Chase Field, the actual Rumble itself, for lower level seating, because I knew it was going to be a weird design in that stadium.
Baseball stadium.
Because it's a baseball stadium. But like the lowest that I think would have been a good seat, like a good fun seat, was like $250 a pop.
Okay,
I mean, you can get them down to 60, but you're way the fuck up and you're just watching the show on
a big screen,
basically, at that point. Home. Yeah.
Yeah.
There's no, I mean, other than, if it's like,
I mean, and,
you know,
and then like floor level, if you're sitting on the floor,
like,
yeah. But if you're sitting on the floor, you're looking at $500 a pop.
Damn. And
that hurts my wallet.
And yeah. those suck. I've been on floor of WrestleMania before, and I've been on floor of a UFC fight. If you're too far back, it sucks. Well, for people who aren't fucking 6'5",
but you're even.
So you can see the ring, but like once people start, if you're like during the events, you're standing up. And you're just lost in people's heads.
And I couldn't even imagine, like, if the entertainers, in this case, are close to you, they're on your side of the ring, awesome. But as soon as they get on the other side of the ring,
it's rough, dude.
You're fucked, yeah.
Yeah, the UFC one was the worst. We were four rows back at UFC.
How tall is the UFC ring? Because I know
it goes up a good probably 5 feet.
A wrestling ring... Just for the mat itself is what, like maybe 4 feet off the ground?
Something like that.
Probably pretty close, yeah.
So UFC is what?
It's close to 5. There's a good 5 or 6 steps to get up into the ring. And the thing about them is you have, because of the Octagon, it's just these giant, thick, padded squares.
Right.
So you're just looking, if you're unfortunate, in one of the ones that has a bar, it's this way, so it's at an angle, and you're cut off for the rest of the ring, and it's like, it's kind of shitty.
You can't really see
anything. Yeah. We were lucky because we were away from the aisle, which is always at a weird angle because it comes like a weird like backward C shape.
Mm-hmm.
But we were away from the announcers area and the media, so we were like shot right into it. So we were, and like I said, we were four rows back, so we're essentially the little bit of area where like the coaches and stuff were, but we were on the shorter side, so we were a little bit luckier that way. But when we went to Mania, we were 20 rows back,
mm-hmm.
and it's rough.
Yeah.
Because you have 19 rows of people, then you have the gap between the ring and your eye level with essentially the ring itself.
Exactly.
Yeah, if you're in if you're sitting floor seats for a wrestling show, you kind of want to be in the first couple rows. If not, then you want to be kind of halfway up the first set of balcony seating.
Right. Because I could also imagine like you suddenly get some ground play.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you
can't fighting on the floor and stuff.
Yeah, you're fighting on the floor. You're not going to be able to see shit.
Yeah, you see, like... unlike the UFC, the WWE, they usually have a big screen right above the
ring. Especially the big events like
that. You can see it. So when they're outside the ring, but you know, they're doing the floor play, as you said.
I was looking for a better word for it.
Out of ring?
Out of ring. Yeah. Well, Jesus. You know what?
Whatever, right?
Who's playing with?
It's me.
Okay.
They'll have that on like because
is that foreplay? Yeah,
that's
is that
foreplay. Foreplay. That's before. That's before foreplay. It's footplay, foreplay,
that's
fucking
five
play. Gross. So they'll have it up on like the big screen. UFC. Most of your camera work that's on the big screens are usually not above the ring, are all through the fence.
Yeah.
And they're usually away from the middle so everyone in the top can see it. So, like, if you're in the middle, like, we were, like, four rows back. Luckily, we were there. If we were any farther back, it's just, like, back of people's heads.
I'm here.
And I think I see stuff, you know? Like, yeah. Then you're watching the back of a projection screen. So you're like, oh, he's left-handed all of a sudden, you know, that sort of thing. But, like, the one thing that saved us from Mania, we were against – we were the first four seats uh-huh. along the aisle. So we got the entrance of the wrestlers, ooh. And we were able to see a little further into yeah. the ring that way. I mean, I would have felt bad for people in the Phoenix one because the walk-in was at a weird angle.
Yeah. Yeah, because they came out of the dugout.
Which dugout? The
home or want to say it was a visitor's
dugout. Right?
Yeah.
Dugout. That's the one they came out of. Yeah. Because I was interested to see. I was like, man, if they come out of the outfield, that's
Did they then have the ring, like...
closer to, like,
set,
where...
Well, I'm thinking set up more, like...
The ring was kind of...
Like, in line mound. With the diamond?
Like, yeah, kind of on the pitcher mound.
So, like, kind of on the pitcher mound, but a little bit further in the back. Diamond. So, yeah, that is a bit of a weird...
Yeah, and it is. They come out, and you're facing this way, and it's this long aisle, and then it's, like, this sharp fucking left.
Yeah.
For another, like, 10 or 12 feet into the ring.
It was so weird, because it looked like... I mean, you guys probably won't know this, but back in the day, when WCW first started doing Starrcade, it was, like, their big yearly pay-per-view, like, their big giant... They did it in baseball stadiums, because that's all. And it was a very similar setup to, like, those old matches that I've seen, but I haven't seen any setup like that in the uh-huh. last 30 years because you don't really do baseball stadiums anymore. Right. But, yeah, it was that kind of weird. It was all at an angle to get in because, like I said, if you ran them from the outfield...
It'd be a huge run.
Yeah,
it'd be
it's a fucking long run.
Journey down there.
And you would probably, you honestly, like, probably
we're
golf
cut
cart
commercial
him.
Guys as we bring in the left hander.
For the Rumble, like if it was a non Rumble event, they probably would have done that. You know, like say it was Mania for whatever reason.
But by the time
that would be perfect, because you could have a big stage in the outfield and a long rock, you know, because the entrances are always over the top on Mania.
Yeah.
But the fact that you had 90 seconds in between people, like the buzzer would go off for the next person when that. Last person was just barely getting in the ring.
Yeah.
So, but it was a pretty cool looking setup. It was nothing. They did the big, because they didn't have the giant screens mm-hmm. that they usually do on their entrances. So the people that are watching on TV, like us, they would throw up the big virtual reality symbols.
Yeah.
For like, whatever the character was and stuff. So that's kind
of
neat.
But, yeah, a lot of they had a lot of the more of the augmented reality stuff in it, like because everybody, all the big ones that came in, always had their name and stuff up there. So like New Day would have a banner with one of the three of them on there, whoever came out at the time, and then like even like the matches when the individual matches when they came out, they'd have their big one hanging up. Like Brock just had the big fucking skull,
his tattoo, you know,
the tattoo on there, and then like Finn Balor had his logo up there and things like that. But it's like, it's just that walk-in was so weird because it was like, especially the Rumble, because like a lot of times the Rumble, they just like whoever comes in just wants to book it towards the fucking ring.
Yeah, so
now they're like booking, they're like, oh wait, hold on. You know?
It did have a weird, like I said, because of the old Starrcades, it had kind of a weird old school vibe to it, which was kind of neat, but it was just odd.
Yeah. And the cameraman's very first match.
First match of the night, cameraman fucking ate shit so hard.
Yeah.
And then whoever was in the truck had to been laughing at him because they kept the shot way too long. Because I've seen cameramen fall before and it quick switches over.
Yeah.
This one, so he's, you know, obviously walking backwards to follow the wrestler's entrance. And all of a sudden, the camera just goes up and to the side, and then goes back down and kind of leans. So, and then it cuts away. I was like, you guys could have helped him out on that one. You could have cut a whole lot quicker.
Yeah.
No, they were laughing at that guy for sure. Which is, I mean, it's not his fault because it's that angle.
Was it that angle? So
it was right on the turn.
He backed into the angle.
Yeah, because the barricade. Yeah, so as it was coming out right on the turn, he just cut it too close and tripped over something.
Because right after that, so the way it goes is like the long stent of it has no padded railings. It's just the metal girder with like lights and stuff like that. And then it kind of narrows down, hits that really sharp fucking left turn, and about halfway down through the 10 or 12 feet, then it goes into the padded barricades. But otherwise, that corner he comes around, it's literally got like a metal fence, and it has the little fucking support bar there. So he just clips that support bar and goes right over it.
Oh,
yeah, and he's the low one, too. So, like, he's already down. And so when he falls over, he literally rolls backwards. So Mike was saying his camera's like floating in the air.
And then goes back and you see his feet. And he's shining. You know exactly what he's doing. He falls. He's got the camera up. And then he leans up and he's leaning on his left arm to try to stand up.
Yeah.
And the whole time the camera stayed on that view. I was like, all right.
Poor guy.
Yeah.
Switch camera two.
So with that in mind, what was your favorite match and what was your favorite moment?
Favorite match of the Rumble or of the
of
two
the
shows?
Whole entire thing. So you could I'd even say you could be like, you know,
of TakeOver as well.
Person. Yeah.
Well, NXT for sure. Favorite match of NXT was Gargano versus Ricochet.
Yeah.
It was fucking ridiculous.
I know Ricochet. I've never heard
that. Johnny Gargano. Yeah, he's kind of...
Because wasn't Ricochet when we went to NXT?
No.
No, he wasn't there?
He wasn't
I've seen
that
him somewhere
one.
Then.
No.
I think I showed you his big ladder match, that six-man ladder match. I made you guys watch that one.
I think so. Maybe that's
that was like his first TakeOver match, because that match was fucking nuts. But this Gargano versus Ricochet for the North American title, they call it, right?
North American title, yeah.
That one was the best match of the weekend for sure.
Yeah.
I don't know, man. Rumble, like I said, I didn't hate it. It was just kind of a little bit of a letdown. But Becky Lynch, losing her title match,
mm-hmm.
and then being a surprise entrance into the Rumble, and winning it. Was pretty cool. I would have done a couple things a little bit differently with that.
Not have it 6 hours long.
Well, fair. Well, just the Becky Lynch thing.
Yeah.
Here's what I would have done. Becky Lynch tapped out to Asuka, which Asuka is cool as fuck anyway, mm-hmm. so I don't have a problem with her losing. But as soon as she lost, it's like, oh, she's got to win. She's not in the Rumble, but you're like, she's too big of a star right now. She's got to, we were talking about it, she's winning the Rumble somehow. She's winning the Rumble, right?
She's going to show up and just win it.
Yeah. So what they did, the clever way that they did it was Lana was in the...
Lana?
Yeah, was in the Women's Royal Rumble, but she's Rusev's wife in real life and on TV.
Okay.
And during that match, she got knocked off the apron and hurt her ankle.
Mm-hmm.
And so when she came out, she was still walking with a limp.
And she had a bandage she
was,
wrapped up.
She was number 27. And then like 28 or 29 was Nia Jax. And she was still walking out by the time Nia Jax was coming up because she had the limp.
Yeah.
And Nia Jax has got this like big monster personality going on right now. So she beat the fuck out of Lana even more on her way out there. So when 29 came out and 30 came out, Lana still hadn't made it into the... Because she was getting tended to by trainers.
Gotcha.
And then all of a sudden, you see Becky Lynch come out of nowhere, and the crowd just fucking erupts. And they basically tell her, yeah, you can take her spot, whatever. But, like, if I was... Because no more entrance after that. This is after the last entrance.
Uh-huh.
I would have just had her run fucking roughshod over everyone and just throw everyone out that was in the ring. No fucking hesitation. No nothing.
Slide in, punch, slide throw. In.
Yeah.
Punch, throw.
Yeah, throw, I would have had it like that. I think that would have been cooler. But they kind of prolonged it a little bit and made you think, oh, is she going to win? Is she not going to win?
Actually have the shot. Yeah.
But I'm like, nah, man, you should have just fucking...
Booked it in.
Yeah, booked it in and just taken everybody out real quick. But she won. That was the important part. And the crowd went pretty apeshit for that one. So that was a lot of fun.
Yeah, as soon as her music starts playing, she's not even out yet, and the music starts playing, and the place erupts. She just saunters up them fucking stairs and just walks over. She looks at Lana and be like,
yeah,
it's going to be. And then the official's out there is like, you're not part of it. Like, it has to be her. And she's like, look at her. Yeah. No. Like, she ain't getting up. She wasn't going to make it in the first place. She made 14 steps. And damn near collapsed. Then Nia Jax came over and breathed fire on her, and the bitch threw her into the metal girder.
Oh, and one of the other, at first I was like, this is dumb, but then I ended up kind of loving it a little bit, is Nia Jax is kind of like the monster bad guy of the women's division.
Mm-hmm.
So come Men's Royal Rumble, we know the last entrant is going to be R-Truth because he, won something in the past. So we know he's the last entrant.
Okay.
So he's coming out, and he's doing his thing where he does his little, rap on the way to the ring. And then Nia Jax comes out of nowhere and beats the fuck out of him from behind, like throws him into like the metal guardrails and beats him up, and she just gets in the match. And and it's like, we've seen women in the Royal Rumble before.
Uh-huh.
But
not in the Royal Rumble.
Yeah. No, like in the Royal Rumble, like China, Beth Phoenix, there's been a couple women
okay.
that enter the Royal Rumble. But this is now we have a women's Royal Rumble and a men's Royal Rumble, so you kind of think those moments are ever.
Yeah.
So she jumps in, and nobody is, like, attacking her. They're like, what the fuck like, are you doing yeah. here? And she's like, ah, and then, like, eliminates somebody and then punches somebody from behind. And then she's basically, like, beating up dudes, and nobody's, like, hitting her or fucking doing any of their moves to her because they're, like, uncomfortable doing it.
Right.
And then finally, out of nowhere, because she's doing, like, enough damage, Dolph Ziggler hits her with a super kick, fucking square in the face. And you're like, just got her right in the face. And then, like, she fell down in the against the ropes, and Rey Mysterio's there. And he looks at her, and she's in perfect position for his finisher.
Uh-huh.
So he's like, fuck it, and he hits her with her finisher, and she gets up, and she staggered. Then you see Randy Orton RKO's her out of nowhere.
Oh,
and I was like,
hard, too.
Yeah, dude, it was a good one. I was worried, because they kind of teased Randy hitting her earlier with it, but, like, something happened. And I was like, Nia's never taken an RKO. Sometimes if you take an RKO and you can make it look real dumb if you don't take it right. She fucking face planted hard. I was like, good on her.
You're right.
Yeah, like, because a lot of times he'll run up and he'll just in place. Now he runs over, spins her a little bit, and then lands it, and she's out.
Yeah.
That one's like, it was whole good. Place just and fucking erupts.
The crowd was, and it's weird because you're like, all these dudes are beating up a chick.
Right.
But she was being a real dickbag to him. So. Because, like, when it first came out, I was like, oh, it's kind of weird. I don't want to watch men and women beat each other up. But then it's like, she kept beating the shit out of all the men. And so finally they're like, well, we have to fucking get her out of here. So that part was pretty fun.
All right. Cody? What was your favorite match of the night and your favorite moment?
My favorite match of the night, well, of the two events, my favorite... I might have to agree with Mike with NXT with Johnny Gargano and Ricochet, just because it was a really good match and there was no fuckery involved in it.
Uh-huh.
No.
The Tommaso Ciampa and Aleister Black one was a good match, but it was like, it was just too much of like someone working on an injury to kind of exploit them, so like it took away that injury, took away the big finish. So you kind of knew what was going to happen.
Gotcha.
And he'd have to either work through it, but they worked way too long on injuring that leg for him not to be able to do his finisher. So I was like, yeah, whatever. So like the North American Championship was cool because finally Johnny got to get a belt of his own because him and Ciampa were so long together as DIY that they were like, and they were 3-time. Tag team champs, right?
Something like that.
Yeah. So like, and when they had that violent split and like big long feud, always fighting, it seemed like they're always fighting just each other. And then like, obviously this like is stirring because Ciampa is the men's champion, and then he's getting North American champion. It's leading up a lot of cool things. So I like that match a lot. So I think it was my favorite of all of them. And I think overall my favorite thing was the Becky Lynch story going through the whole thing, is her building up
about that nonstop.
Yeah. Like I am legitimately in love with Becky Lynch, like everything about her.
You don't say.
Yeah. Weird. Right. Like I know her backstory now and like where she went to college and like her favorite shoe color, all that stuff.
Please
right.
Tell me it was like San Diego.
No, it was Chicago.
Oh.
Yeah. I'm amazing. It was San Diego. Amazing. Yeah. But like, I like, cause I like her, like, her attitude to me is very like a mix between Hulk Hogan and Ultimate Warrior.
Okay.
Because when she's in the ring, she's just fucking rash. She's everywhere. She's willing to be throw herself across over anything and just do whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But like I don't like the fact that she lost to Asuka, but I like the fact that they're building up. She's gonna fight Ronda.
She's gonna get her title
change. And it's gonna be like, it's gonna be Ronda and her and Becky
once
main event at WrestleMania.
Yeah,
and it's
once you get to Mania, no one's gonna remember that she lost to Asuka.
Yeah.
But the cool part about it though
is the road to how she got there.
Now is looking fucking dominant as fuck too.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
And you could separate them now for a while because Becky's now going off after Ronda. Now Asuka's got the SmackDown Women's Belt, and she could have any, and she's been super dominant because she actually beat the most popular woman.
Uh-huh.
So she's looking strong as fuck now too. So whatever match she gets, obviously in terms of popularity, is not going to be as big as the Ronda Becky match, but it's going to be a fucking badass match though. So mm-hmm. she, hindsight, I mean, it works out okay. You could have, I think they kind of booked themselves into a corner where they had to do it like that. But I mean, they could have been smarter before, but taking that into consideration where they were going into the Rumble, this was probably the best possible outcome for them to get to where they need to get to at Mania.
And story wise, it's just playing out so well because Becky was coming up to be this big, like the big, like she's literally the biggest star in like WWE history right now. Cause like, uh-huh. just she came out of, essentially came out of nowhere, like out of obscurity, and like she's worked her way up from being essentially a nobody. Like she was a rosebud on NXT, which if you know what a rosebud is,
nope.
it's an extra yeah. for another wrestler.
Oh, okay.
Gotcha. Like a no name yeah. fucking yeah. background character.
So yeah. she was willing to do whatever, and so she did it, and she had, once they gave her a shot to be like a real actual character, it started rough. Like she came out dancing to like Irish music, was doing a jig. She's just all in green. Like, it was rough. Like, okay. it was rough.
Okay.
Then she kind of took this, like, more of, like, this steampunk, like thing. She had goggles and this trench coat, and she's rocking out to music. Then she had this whole thing where she's the Irish last kicker, because okay. she's Irish, and last right. is lady, yeah, and then it sounds right like hair, ass,
yeah.
right?
Yeah.
So that was the whole thing. And then she has this persona now as the man.
Okay.
She refers to her as the man. And like, so she's like this super badass, but like, it's this story. And so as we're going through, when it's coming up to Survivor Series, she's supposed to have this big title match, right? Mm-hmm. Well, she gets her face broken in real life. Nia Jax punches her so hard in the face, her face actually breaks.
Oh.
Yeah.
Damn.
Like, for legit.
Yeah.
So that's a huge setback because that's a legit injury. And yeah. you can't just go through and like, oh, we're going to fix your face.
Yeah.
It's but, like,
yeah.
but you know,
the thing that happened because of that is she got her face all busted ass, but it gave visuals of she finished everything she was supposed to finish that night
mm-hmm.
with a bloody face. So these badass pictures of her just wreaking havoc
with a bloody, with
bloody face. And it harkened back to, like, you say Hogan Warrior, but like you're kind of not into wrestling during the time, but she's kind of more of like Stone Cold at his apex right now.
Yeah,
in terms of that character of just like a good guy, but doing whatever the fuck he wants.
Yeah.
Like, that's kind of where she's at right now. She just doesn't give a fuck.
That's
her character right now.
If played right, that's
and
fun.
So the yeah. blood and everything allowed her all these badass pictures, and it stopped that match between her and Ronda from happening.
Yeah.
So build up.
And now everyone was like, fuck, we were really excited about that. And then you look, you're like, well, just a couple months for Mania. And you know, I know for a fact they're going to do Ronda versus Charlotte.
Uh-huh.
And it would have been a good match, but now Ronda's popularity is peaked so fucking high, they're like, get the fuck out of here, Charlotte. Ronda's got your spot now. And so
that's... Becky has your spot now.
Or, yeah, Becky has Becky, your spot yeah. now. So yeah, that... the her getting her face all busted up and taking away what would have been her biggest match of her career...
made that same match even bigger.
Because it's at Mania.
It's now. At Mania. And it's gonna, I almost guarantee it's gonna headline Mania.
Uh-huh.
So it's gonna be the last match.
If it doesn't, people are gonna lose their riots, shit.
Yeah. Well, who else would? I mean, what else would be headlining Mania?
Rollins, Lesnar.
Yeah. Which is kind of a shame because it's that match isn't, I mean, it's gonna be fun, but it's, I mean, it's anybody who fights Lesnar is kind of always at a disadvantage in a way.
Because it's like, Lesnar is probably gonna lose that one.
Yeah.
So you have to come up with a cool way. But, like, and there's a lot of things going into, one, like, the dude that's been main event in Mania for the last few years is Roman Reigns.
Yeah.
And he's out with leukemia. So Jesus it's like.
Christ, really?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Holy shit.
So.
Like, legit, not like leukemia, real life leukemia.
Yeah, they can't do a cancer storyline. Don't That'd
do
be
that,
terrible.
Guys. Don't do that.
So that was their dude. Like, that was their. Like, obviously, their new version of John Cena, kind of at that point. And so it's like, well, he was our established main event. He probably would have been the main event this year.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what the match would have been, but like.
Probably him and whoever is men's champion.
Or he might have had the title. Going in. Yeah, it could have been a bunch of different things.
Well, I guess he could have taken it at the Survivor Series or at Elimination Chamber next month
or before, because he's been out for a while now. But so you take him out of the equation, you're like, well, Rollins definitely could, but he's closed Mania before. Obviously, because whether hardcore wrestling fans want to admit it or not, Brock Lesnar is a draw. He's a name value draw. And so even if you're tired of your matches, like if you put Brock Lesnar on a poster, like you're going to get more eyes on that show.
And someone's getting thrown around a ring.
Yeah. And then, but it's at the point now too, is like, you don't want to miss when Lesnar loses because he's been so dominant. It's like you want to see who finally beats him. Because whoever finally beats him, it's a big fucking deal.
Uh-huh.
So
we do have the Kingslayer going against him. So, I mean, that's kind of like a...
Yeah.
Kind of a telltale sign, like, oh, this is just another Titan that's going to be buried underneath the monument that is Seth Rollins.
Yeah. And which would be cool. And I'm excited about that. So that match could do it. But here's the thing, is they've been pushing this whole women's revolution thing. And it's like, well, at this point... The biggest thing that you could do in WWE is main event, go on last at WrestleMania.
Yeah.
Yep.
There's been 33 WrestleManias. There's been way less number of wrestlers who've actually been in that last spot. Because usually if you're in it and you do a good job, you stay in it for a few years.
Okay.
So it's the biggest thing. And it's like if you want to tell your fans we are taking women's wrestling just as serious as we're taking men's wrestling... This is the match where you put it on. And I'm not saying like every year it's going to be a women's main event, but like this, but
like this is the most interesting thing going on right now. Where
all the momentum is leading to this. You have Ronda Rousey, who is the biggest name you've ever had in the women's division. You have Becky Lynch, who is hitting these heights that a woman hasn't organically hit in terms of popularity ever in their company. And it's because if it was just Ronda. Becky Lynch and Charlotte, it would be a great match. But you don't have that name value of Ronda Rousey.
Right.
It's like it's two worlds colliding.
Yeah.
Because Ronda came in as a superstar.
Yeah.
And it's always been on top. Her debut was at Mania. Rumble.
Mania.
Her first match was
at Mania.
Yeah, her first match was at Mania, but her literally a year ago, this time ago, at Rumble, she debuted as, or not debuted, but she came out as appeared as like, oh, I'm part of this now. A couple months later, they build up. She had a couple, appearances, blah, blah, blah. Comes out, wins the title at WrestleMania, dethrones Charlotte.
Mm-hmm.
And then ever since then, this bubbling of Becky Lynch has been boiling and boiling and boiling. And it literally, as we were saying, is literally going to hit Survivor Series and just be this fucking combustion. Just boom, it's going to explode, right? Weeks before, she gets her face broken. You can't write shit better than that.
Yeah.
So it's like, oh, substitute. Like, that's the kind of shit you hope to think of. But then you get an actual thing where, like, oh, yeah, her face is broken. God forbid she's, out forever, you know? But we'll see what happens. So then they change gears, start doing other things. Unfortunately, they picked Sasha Banks to be that towards the end for Rumble, which isn't terrible, but also isn't as big. But I think they're just literally like baiting that hook still. And then so once you have the dominoes that fall, and someone in the writer's room was just like, yo, I have this idea. Hold on. Let's build up Becky Lynch to maybe go for a different title. Lose... Surprise entry into Rumble, win the Rumble, gets to choose the matches she really wants, give her that match, we throw it at WrestleMania, we make all the money, and then we'll scramble after that and figure it out.
Yeah, nice. So because of the fact, like I said, Ronda is the biggest name that's ever wrestled for the women's division, and the fact that Becky... is organically reached the popularity level that like a Daniel Bryan did a few years ago, organically, just through being really good, and then couple that with the fact that there's never been a women's main event at WrestleMania, and it's like it's just lining up too perfectly.
Yeah,
and it's a big selling point because it's the first time a women's match has ever main evented and blah blah blah, but it's going to be a big deal. Because you're going to have every year there's that poster, and you always have like the two dudes who are main eventing are always front and center, and then everyone else in the background. Well, this year it's going to be Ronda and Becky front and center, and everyone else behind them, and it's going to be a big deal. Should be a lot of fun.
Cool.
Yep.
Wrestling.
And then, of course, Daniel Bryan comes out in his fucking hippie ways last night on SmackDown Live with the fucking hemp belt.
He debuted because the title was made with a leather strap belt, and he was like
precious stones.
It's so
actually, yeah, you showed me the picture last night. I went through and I actually saw it on Apple News this morning, and I went through.
It is so terrible.
And read about so, it. I love it so much. He had a hemp belt with fucking rocks and wood.
Yeah. So the background is wood. I'm not going to lie.
It looked kind of cool.
It did. It's so perfect for his character now, though. And that's how you know you're a big deal, too. Not very many champions have gotten their own belt.
Yeah.
Like Hulk Hogan got his own belt way back in the day at the height of Hulkamania. Then after that, I think it was Stone Cold got his own belt. Yeah. And then John Cena got his own belt. Like Spinner. Yeah, like those are the guys who've gotten their own belts. Now Daniel Bryan has a hippie belt. It's so fucking dope, dude.
I think the worst part about it is
he's got the turquoise rocks.
Doing the swoop across behind the W. I was like, oh, I hate him so much. Like the whole thing being made, the background making wood, I was like, that's pretty cool, but it's like I don't want to like it because of how fucking just hippie it is. And it's my favorite comment was, it's AJ Styles coming out. Did you smoke that? Did you smoke what helped you make this belt? And I was like, oh, this is so fantastic.
But it's also going to make for a big moment once whoever finally beats Daniel Bryan to hold the old belt. Like, because you know they're going to bring the old belt back and it's going to get a big pop.
But like having to watch them win it and then hold that fucking belt, that hippie fucking belt, like
that has his name on it. Yeah.
I have to hold this fucking thing.
It's great. They're not even gonna hold it up. They're gonna have they're gonna bust out the old one from underneath the ring or
give me this one. I want the one made of leather and precious stones.
And death and
I want the one that symbolizes the torture of animals.
Which is funny how Daniel Bryan could be such a great bad guy by basically saying, nah, I'm vegan and I don't like to kill animals. It's like, nah, you're an America sucker, that makes you a bad guy.
Yep.
Right,
you're an eco-terrorist at this point.
I was thinking about when I was reading the article this morning, how many people are just going to sit there and boo him for being.
They've been doing it,
yeah.
And he's obviously been an asshole about it because he's supposed to. But it's been a lot of fun watching him just go off on people about their grossness as Americans.
And the impromptu fight between AJ Styles and him in the concourse area, where he essentially he builds up by throwing a hot dog in someone's face. Then he throws a guy's soda in his face. Then he comes out and accosts AJ Styles while he's selling merch to people. And they're fighting, and AJ Styles tackles him to the condiment table. And they get mustard, ketchup, and oil just spilled all over them and each other. And it's just like, this is ridiculous.
And then later on, he complained about it. He's like, I have mustard on my shirt. He's all pissed about it.
Yeah, it's just outlandish what he's been doing.
I hope he brings more people, because he brought Rowan in. Is now is like
another his lumberjack enforcer,
like is another hippie,
or as AJ Styles says, lumberjackass.
Yeah,
which I thought was very Stone Coldish.
Yeah, I hope he gets more people. I hope he builds a whole fucking group,
hippies,
who just hate anybody who's a meat eater. It's gonna be so fun.
So, before we wrap this up, because we're almost finished here, what do you think of the WWE going after the Super Bowl's halftime show?
I love it. They did this way back in the day. Halftime Heat is what they're calling it. So I don't remember how many times they've done it, but I remember the big one is during the halftime at one of the Super Bowls years ago, they put on a match between The Rock and Mankind. It was a big deal, and it drew big numbers because it was counter-programming to whatever the halftime show was, and it wasn't on during the game, so a lot of households just switched over to watch that match real quick, and they made sure they were done by the time kickoff for the second half. And they called it Halftime Heat. This year, it's fucking genius, because A, they have their own streaming service, so they could put it on whenever the fuck they want. They don't have to get, USA to...
But...
Okay.
They're putting on all streaming services for free, including YouTube.
Yeah.
Ooh.
So they're going to get everybody. So now, and because it's live, they can, you know, if the first half goes long or short, like, they're going to be ready to go because they don't have to worry about an audience.
Yeah.
You know, and that's the other thing. The Rock Mankind was a empty stadium match. They just had it in a stadium with no fans there, which was weird as fuck. Yeah. But it was also really cool because you just heard everything. Them. It was really odd. So this year, I really truly think it was because everyone was bitching about the fact that you have the Super Bowl in Atlanta, which is like the birthplace of so much great music, and then they picked fucking Maroon 5 to headline the halftime show. So they're like, well, fuck these guys. We're going to put on a great match. So now they got this giant six-man tag match that they're going to put on during the halftime of the Super Bowl. And I'm like...
Of like six of the NXT superstars.
Yeah, like the most popular guys in NXT are all going to be in the same match at once. And that's literally just going to be the match. It's one match. It's only going to take place during... I wonder if they're going to have a crowd. I don't even know if they're going to have a crowd.
They probably will.
Might. They didn't do it with the Rock and Man. I hope it's an empty stadium crowd. I think it's hilarious.
But the advertisement of it is the funniest part.
Because they shit all over Maroon 5.
They shit all over Maroon 5. They show them, like, they show pictures of them, like, is your halftime show this? And it shows Maroon 5. But it's like Maroon 5 with a question mark. And it's like, or, and then they use the Super Bowl theme, that dun dun, like, no, like that music, and they show just a still image of the six superstars going to face each other in a 3-on-3 six-way tag match. And like, I was like, this is fucking
but they dangerous. and even when they announced it, they cut back to the announcers, and they're like, yeah, who'd rather listen to Maroon 5 or watch this match? Obviously watch this. And they just shit on Maroon 5 even more. I was like, god damn, WWE.
Yeah, it's so funny. I was like, okay, yeah, you got on this one for sure.
All right,
I mean, I'll be at work, so like, I won't really be able to watch it too much, as far as I know. But yeah, I was just like, this is fucking genius. So smart.
Nice.
Goddamn.
Real quick, too. Dean Ambrose apparently is leaving WWE.
Yeah.
So that's interesting. Apparently, people think it's fake because WWE announced it. But then, like, other wrestlers have known about it for a while, and they're, like, leaking it out. They're like, nah, homeboy's really out the door. And that's odd. And remember, we were talking about Hideo Itami.
Mm-hmm.
He just got granted his release too.
I saw that. Yeah.
And so it's like, WWE's in this weird place right now because AEW's coming in hot, and WWE can't keep everybody. But you have to kind of decide who you really want to keep and who's expendable.
Yeah.
Losing Dean Ambrose is rough, dude. Apparently, they offered him a 5-year contract worth over $1 million a year
with a producing credit or something, right?
I think that was a different wrestler.
Oh, it was a different? Okay.
But just as a performer, over $1 million a year for 5 years, which is like a guaranteed, which is a big fucking money contract. And he was like, fuck you guys, I'm out. So now you're like, AEW gets Dean Ambrose? That's fucking massive. And then Hideo Itami leaves. And Hideo Itami was this huge wrestler in Japan, like the superstar over there. And when he signed with WWE, it was like a huge deal. It was all over. Like, they were, and then they just did nothing with him.
Yeah.
Like, he got injured a couple times. It kind of hurt him, but then they did nothing with him. And so now he's leaving. People are going to remember, like, how he was super popular for a big reason. AEW, interesting. Because, like, you just assume any wrestler doesn't re-sign, you're like, oh, he's going to AEW.
Right.
But then what also makes it interesting is, like, Ring of Honor has lost so many wrestlers. So now if they're looking, they're like, oh, fuck, we lost a bunch of people. What if we offer a shit ton of money to Dean Ambrose and we kind of recoup some of that star power? It's going to be interesting to see. I really want to know what the money is that's going to go around.
Yeah.
Because I don't know what kind of money AEW is working with. No, it was a big deal for Ring of Honor to hand out their first $1 million contract recently. That was to Cody Rhodes when he signed with them.
And now Cody Rhodes is part of AEW.
And now Cody Rhodes is part of AEW. So if they start throwing out a couple $1 million contracts, I don't know. It's gonna be a weird, weird world.
Also, a former WWE superstar has emerged back in the wrestling world, which is CM Punk. And there's rumor that he may come back as an AEW star as well. Because he started because he disappeared from everything wrestling for a long time. But like just a couple months ago, his merch started showing back up as like new merch, like not like his old stuff, new stuff.
Yeah.
And then it started being promoted along with all these other ones that just happened to be
AEW guys,
AEW people now. And then I guess like he's big. He's really good friends with Cody Rhodes and a bunch of them. So it's like, uh oh, like if he comes back, it's gonna be fucking.
When
huge
he
too.
First left WWE, everyone was like, whoa. When are you going back to wrestling? When he's like, no, I'm not going back to wrestling. And he was steadfast about that the entire time. The only thing he ever said was, if I was ever to go back to wrestling, I would want to do something with the Young Bucks. I really like what those guys do. Young Bucks are co-founders for AEW, and they just happen to have unlimited cash now, apparently, from that billionaire that was like, I'll help you guys make a wrestling promotion. And so... Yeah, could you imagine, like, Young Bucks, Omega, Cody Rhodes, Chris Jericho, CM Punk, and Dean Ambrose? Fuck, dude. No wrestling company has ever started off with that much star power before.
Right.
And that's right out the gate. And it's not like those guys are, like, old past their prime dudes. And they mix that properly with, like, up-and-coming dudes. Man, people are saying, nah, they're not going to be able to compete right away with WWE. I'm like, maybe. Like, if they give good counter-programming, if they don't make five-hour fucking pay-per-views.
If you make things available for people to watch.
Yeah, that's the next big part, like what their TV deal is.
Yeah.
Because the rumor was it was going to be a Turner because the owner has connections with Turner Broadcasting. So, like, TNT or TBS. And then
get some good streaming.
Which no longer has a WWE anymore.
Yeah, they don't have any wrestling anymore. Or, like, the other thing, too, is, like, in this day and age, you have to have a streaming service. Yeah. So if they debut a weekly TV show with a good streaming service.
Partner with Hulu. Come on, man.
Yeah, dude, that'd be a
huge Well, Hulu thing. May not because they have the deal with Raw.
That's a deal with USA.
Well, so I'm saying with USA, with that whole thing. So that may be their way of being, oh, we don't care about this anymore.
Get a deal with Amazon Prime.
Even better, yeah. Something big. That'd be dope. But the other crazy thing, too, is like they still haven't fully announced all the matches for their pay-per-view event in Vegas in a couple weeks. So we may see now that, as of recording right now, tomorrow is officially the end of
Kenny Omega's
contract with New Japan. So in a couple weeks at Double or Nothing in Vegas, we could see all of this literally, because the whole rumor is at that event they'll announce what channel, how you're gonna be watching their new programming, where it's gonna be, how it's gonna be done. But there's also it's basically this platform to show off who they're bringing, because we already know like a bunch of them, because they have, so far they've only announced three female wrestlers, which is not enough to even have anything going on. And two of them are married to superstars that are already in the group. So, like, you know, that's the thing. You have an odd number of dudes, because you don't have Kenny Omega yet. When they announced Chris Jericho, that made it, like, 13 or some weird number. But then we don't know anything about anything else. So it's like, that is, they're saying, like, hey, this event, it's not just this big wrestling event like the one we just had. But it's also going to be like
a big like unveiling for like what their company is going forward.
And this is who's who, and all these things are going to have awesome matches, most likely. You probably won't see Kenny Omega and like those ones wrestle, but you'll see them.
The smart money on them is how they're going to set themselves apart is when WWE became a publicly traded company, and then like the Attitude Era kind of wind down. They switched their stuff to be PG, more family friendly.
Yeah.
More, you know, no more blood in their matches unless it's like an accidental real thing. And then even then, they stop matches now sometimes if the blood's too bad, if it's on a TV show. But like, if AEW is to be like, nah, we're going to go more with like less of the family entertainment and go more of like the athletic match style. Like, really focus on just quality of the matches.
Yeah.
Like a NXT. If they take the NXT model and go and beat WWE to make that mainstream, it'd be very interesting. And it's not like, I mean, WWE just signed a TV contract for like how many billion dollars? It's not even in effect yet. It goes in effect in like a year or two.
Yeah.
So obviously, they're going to have so much money to do whatever the fuck they want. But AEW, it's kind of getting to the point where some wrestlers are turning down big money from WWE because they want the creative freedom to do what they want to do in AEW.
Yeah.
Like, that's why the Young Bucks aren't there. It's because they're like, well, we just want to be a tag team. Yeah. Like, we don't want to split up. We don't want to be single champs. We just want to put on good tag team matches. And WWE has treated the tag team division like shit the last few years. Like, there's only been a couple really well established people, and then like good teams go in there and they do nothing with them. They kind of waste away to nothing. And so now it's like, all right, well, do I want to take all this money, or do I want to take still a good amount of money and be able to do what I want?
Right.
That's what these wrestlers are doing now. It's very, very interesting.
It's a shift of the paradigm, as they say.
I like it.
I like it.
I like it a lot.
That was your wrestling podcast, apparently.
There you go. All wrestling all day for today.
You're welcome.
Thanks, man.
Yeah. Plus, there's no other real news to talk about, so that's okay. But that is the end of this episode today. We, again, did not do an intro.
You're welcome.
So here's your intro. Comes to that, we are
Joe,
Mike.
I'm Cody, and that's it for this week's episode, everybody. And as usual, you fuckers just came naturally.
Due to wrestling.
Ugh.